Welcome back to the Michael Lofton Show. I want to tackle an interview that Cardinal Mueller gave to Raymond Arroyo on The World Over recently. Cardinal Mueller is a participant at the Synod, and he weighed in on some questions in relation to it. I'm going to review the entire video because it's only 10 minutes long, and it touches on multiple subjects. So I'm going to cover all of it, but I first want to start with the comments that he offers about the papal magisterium and Pope Francis's exercise of the charism of the papal magisterium in relation to some comments that Cardinal Fernandez gave recently in an interview, which I believe Cardinal Mueller has significantly and very severely misunderstood and then has caused a great deal of confusion because he now disseminates this confusion and misunderstanding for all of the world to become confused by. And so I want to bring some clarity here since it seems the Cardinal has misunderstood Cardinal Fernandez and then indirectly puts into question the Pope's magisterium, though I guarantee that's not his intentions. That is what inevitably follows from what the Cardinal is saying. And so we need to clarify this and get this right. And I'm going to do so by going to what Cardinal Fernandez actually said, in addition to various magisterial documents that would correct this misunderstanding. It would show what Cardinal Fernandez is saying. Before I do that, make sure to hit that subscribe button. If you enjoy Reason and Theology and you need or want, I should say, more people to see this content, people that you know need to see this, people who are confused and really questioning things in the Catholic Church. If you know that people are in need of this content, please go ahead, hit that subscribe button because that will help me grow this channel and reach more people. YouTube will recommend this to others more frequently. And of course, send a link to them directly to this video if you don't mind, if you see a person confused and needing some guidance here. Okay, let's go ahead and begin at the 2 minute mark. Like I said, we're going to review the whole video in a moment, but at first I just want to look at this clip. I'm going to play the whole clip, then I'm going to address the confusion here, and then we'll watch through the whole video and I'll give a play-by-play review of it at the tail end. Okay, let's go ahead and begin now.
I want to get your thoughts on something your successor, Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, said recently in an interview with our own Ed Penton. He warned bishops in particular.
I think I have the playback speed adjusted. Let me fix that one moment.
Fernandez said recently in an interview with our own Ed Penton, he warned bishops in particular not to, quote, judge the doctrine of the Holy Father. He also spoke of a unique charism that was only Pope Francis's. Your Eminence, does the person of the Pope have a doctrine or magisterium unique to himself?
There doesn't exist a doctrine of the popes, because existing in the Church only is a doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the apostles and the Church, the official confession of our faith. And the Pope and the Bishop are the promoters of this doctrine, but they don't have own a doctrine. When Pope Benedict XVI wrote his book, his famous book about Jesus, in the foreword, he distinguished it, that is my own theological opinion, but I am not speaking here as the Pope. Surely the Pope has a special authority in the Church according to our Catholic faith, but he is not a person who receive a new revelation. The revelation is once and forever given in Jesus Christ. Therefore, this idea formulated by the new prefect is a very new idea, special idea. Never I heard of it. I was 16 years professor of dogmatics, and I know all the documents about the papacy and all the councils. But I never read anything about this special charism or gift of the Pope, only given to Pope Francis and not to the former popes.
Yeah, well, those former popes should go and ask for, you know, they need to be upgraded. They missed out that they had private doctrines for themselves. Cardinal.
So now they just kind of mock and make fun of Cardinal Fernandez by completely strawmanning him. You heard it from the Cardinal himself, completely strawmans what Fernandez actually said, which as a dogmatics professor, he should have read more carefully, because notice what Cardinal Mueller is doing here. He's equivocating. He is saying, and we're going to look at what Fernandez says in just a moment, but Cardinal Mueller is saying that Fernandez is claiming that Pope Francis has a charism that no other pope had. You just heard it right at the tail end there. He says that he is claiming Pope Francis has a charism that no other pope has had. And then they make fun and mock Cardinal Fernandez by saying, oh, well, I guess the other popes didn't get the memo kind of stuff. And that's, in fact, not what he says. They're also equivocating, and the Cardinal equivocates here, Cardinal Mueller, on what is being referred to as Pope Francis's magisterium. And Cardinal Mueller equivocates on that term and then presents that as meaning that Pope Francis has teachings that are not from Christ Jesus, but are things that he gets to add to the deposit of faith, that he gets to add to divine revelation. In other words, teachings that originate with Pope Francis, when in reality, all that is being spoken of is Pope Francis's magisterium, meaning he is the one who is personally exercising the papal magisterium, not a magisterium that adds to the deposit of faith, but simply teaches with the authority that he has as the successor of St. Peter, not adding to it. Not his magisterium as if it's not Christ's magisterium, but the magisterium that God has given him as a successor of St. Peter. And that becomes incredibly clear if you actually just read what Fernandez said. So when the first time I read this from Cardinal Fernandez, I knew exactly what he was saying. And so I didn't even think twice about it. But then all of a sudden, I started seeing on social media people freaking out saying, Pope Francis is magisterium. Pope Francis doesn't have a magisterium. What are you talking about, Cardinal Fernandez? And I'm thinking, what in the world? Of course Pope Francis has a magisterium. He personally exercises the papal magisterium. That is all that Fernandez is saying. But they are taking him to mean that Pope Francis gets to invent doctrine. You heard that from Cardinal Mueller saying, no, the magisterium, according to De Verbum, is under divine revelation and the word of God. Right. Nobody has put that into question by speaking about Pope Francis's magisterium. And then again, he strawmans him saying that he is referring to Pope Francis's charism that's unique to Pope Francis that no other pope has. He never says that. Here's what Fernandez actually said. A very basic reading bears this out. And so I'm very confused that a cardinal who is a dogmatics professor, was a dogmatics professor with two doctorates and was head of the CDF, can't read a simple interview carefully. Let's read it, go through it together. Speaking in response to a question on accepting Pope Francis's magisterium, so you see the term there, Cardinal Designate Archbishop Victor Manuel Fernandez told Register Senior Correspondent Edward Pitten in an exclusive September 8th email interview that the Pope has not only a duty to guard and preserve the static deposit of faith. Now notice that completely undermines what Cardinal Mueller just strawmanned him as presenting, because Cardinal Mueller just strawmanned Fernandez as saying that somehow the Pope is over the deposit of faith. And he says, no, that's not right. He's under the deposit of faith, except Cardinal Fernandez literally just said that right here. So I don't know if maybe Cardinal Mueller did not actually read what Fernandez said, and he's just being given notes by an advisor and he's running with it and not actually verifying it. But if you just read the interview, it's very clear. So I don't know what's going on with Cardinal Mueller here, but it continues, but also a second unique charism. So Pope Francis has a unique charism. And notice, it's not given to Pope Francis as opposed to all the other popes. He literally says a unique charism only given to Peter and his successors. That means it's given to all of the popes, not just Pope Francis. But you heard Cardinal Mueller at the tail end, strawman Cardinal Fernandez. Let's listen to it again. And as they mock and make fun of him, when he literally said the opposite, watch this. Only given to Pope Francis and not to the former. Really? Because he actually just said it's a charism given to Peter and his successors, not just Pope Francis. And here they go on to make fun of him. Watch. No, you guys need to read more carefully and stop being irresponsible and slandering people, because this is deceptive. This is misinformation. This is confusing people. So some people are saying there's no audio. They didn't hear the audio on that. Let me play it again. Let's go through it one more time. I'm going to share my screen one more, and you'll see it. All right, you should be able to hear it again. One second. Okay, you should be able to see and hear it now.
It's about the papacy and all the councils, but I read anything about this special charism or gift of the Pope only given to Pope Francis and not to the former popes.
There you go. He says a charism given only to Pope Francis and not to the former popes, except he literally says right here, the charism given to Peter and his successors. He never says it's given uniquely to Pope Francis. He literally says it's the charism given to Peter and his successors. This is just basic stuff, and they misrepresent him with completely the worst possible straw man that one could present. And now they go on to mock him and make fun of him.
Well, those former popes should go and ask for, you know, they need to be upgraded. They missed out that they had private doctrine for themselves.
Right. But this is not what they said. So that he said, this is slanderous. And I don't understand why they are doing this. It's really not difficult to just pull up the interview and read it and understand what he's saying, especially for an individual who has two doctorates, head of the CDF at one point, and has been a professor of dogmatics. So I'm getting the impression, because I don't believe Cardinal Mueller is trying to lie about this interview. I don't think that that's the case. I don't have any reason to believe that. I think what is happening here is that Cardinal Mueller is probably not actually looking at the original interview, and he's going with what people are telling him Fernandez said. And he's saying, yeah, this is absurd. But he's going with a straw man of what Fernandez actually said. Let's listen to it again for another person in the chat who is in denial at this moment and is trying to say that he didn't get this from Cardinal Mueller. Well, let's listen to it once more. Let's hear it again. I'll walk you through it one more time.
The documents about the new prefect is a very new idea, special idea.
So he's saying the new prefect, Cardinal Burke, has a new idea, special idea.
I heard of it. I was 16.
He's never heard of it.
16 years, professor of dogmatics.
Been a dogmatic professor forever.
And I know all the documents about the papacy and all the councils. But I read anything about this special charism.
A special charism.
Or gift of the Pope only given to Pope Francis.
Only given to Pope Francis.
And not to the former popes.
And not to the former popes. How can you be in denial? I literally am showing this to you. Versus what Cardinal Fernandez says, where he speaks of Pope Francis's magisterium, and he has a unique charism only given to Peter and his successors. That would be all popes, but you just heard Cardinal Mueller present him as saying, no, that Pope Francis has a unique charism as opposed to all of his predecessors. So only he has it, no other pope has it. This is outrageously clear that this is a straw man. Okay, thank you for recognizing that in the chat. I don't know how this was in question to begin with, but there we go. Now, here's my problem. They're equivocating on two points here. They're once again equivocating on the term Pope Francis's magisterium, and they're trying to interpret that as meaning Pope Francis gets to come up with doctrine. But that's not what he says. He says the Pope not only has a duty to guard and preserve the static deposit of faith, so that would mean you don't get to add to it, right? But he does have a unique charism, because all popes have that unique charism, which is a living and active gift. That's all he's saying. He's not saying that the Pope gets to come up with new doctrine. He gets to come up with new revelation. That's not what he says. But that's how they present him. He says, I do not have this charism, nor do you, nor does Cardinal Burke. And that is true. They, as cardinals and regular bishops, do not exercise the Petrine ministry and the charism of the Petrine office. That is absolutely true. They have a certain charism as an individual bishop, especially if they have a diocese and they get to exercise it in that diocese, or they can exercise that charism collegially with all of the College of Bishops in an ecumenical council or in the Ordinarian Universal Magisterium. But they do not have this unique charism that the successors of St. Peter have, which is a living and acting gift. So what Cardinal Fernandez is saying is just the very basics of theology, it should not have been disputed. So I'm getting the impression Cardinal Mueller didn't actually read the interview, because I refuse to believe he's just lying. I don't believe that. So I think that Cardinal Mueller isn't actually reading the primary source. He's just going based on what others have been telling him. And believe me, others have been saying this for several weeks, ever since this interview came out. They've been saying, Pope Francis doesn't have a magisterium. Yes, he does. They've been saying, well, Pope Francis doesn't have a unique charism. Yes, he does. All the successors of St. Peter do. This is just basic theology. Let's go through it together. Here's Pope John Paul II, who speaks of this. The supreme pontiffs can exercise this form of magisterium. And this actually happened, however. Many popes have not exercised it. And now he's talking about the exercise of infallible teachings. But it should be noted that in the conciliar text, we are illustrating the ordinary magisterium is distinguished from the extraordinary one, underlying the importance of the former, which is a permanent and continuous nature, while what is expressed in the definitions can be said to be exceptional. Alongside this infallibility of ex cathedra definitions that the Pope has, note this: there exists a charism of assistance of the Holy Spirit granted to Peter and his successors, so that they do not err in matters of faith and morals, and instead give good enlightenment to Christian people. This charism is not limited to exceptional cases, but embraces to varying degrees the exercise of the magisterium. So a lot of stuff going on here. But first of all, he's obviously telling you that the popes have a magisterium. They exercise it personally. Each pope exercises it personally. So you can speak of Pope Francis's magisterium, John Paul II's magisterium, Benedict's magisterium, insofar as each one of them exercises and teaches as a successor of St. Peter. He also then speaks about how they can teach infallibly or non-infallibly. And then, by the way, did you note what he just said? He just backs me up when what I've been telling people for years now, and that is there is a charism of safety even to non-infallible teachings of the Pope. Pope John Paul II explicitly says that. He says alongside of ex cathedra definitions. So outside of ex cathedra definitions, there is a charism of the Holy Spirit assisting Peter and his successors so that they don't err in matters of faith and morals. So what have I been telling you? That even if the teaching is non-definitive, there's still a charism of safety there that's backed by John Paul II. Now, that is in conflict with what people are telling us when they say the Pope taught heresy and they accuse the papal magisterium of heresy, like Bishop Strickland. That violates what John Paul II is saying right here. Another point that I want to bring out, the profession of faith that we must profess in order to be in good standing with the Catholic Church. Third paragraph. Moreover, I adhere with religious submission of intellect and will to the teachings which either the Roman Pontiff, that's the Pope, or the College of Bishops enunciate when they exercise their authentic magisterium, even if they do not intend to proclaim these teachings by definitive act. So even if they're teaching non-infallibly, the Pope or the College of Bishops can exercise their magisterium. magisterium. Guess what? Pope Francis does that when Pope Francis teaches. Therefore, what Mueller is talking about here, Pope Francis's magisterium, is exactly what we find in the profession of faith. There's nothing controversial about it. He's not saying that Pope Francis gets to add to the deposit of faith. No, he says that he has a duty to guard and preserve it. But he's talking about a unique charism given to Peter and his successors, which John Paul II affirms explicitly right here. Not only that, you also have Lumen Gentium, which is abundantly clear about this in paragraph 25 that I would recommend that people read. It says the same thing. So does the instruction to the theologians in Donum Veritatis. Paragraph 15. Jesus Christ promised the assistance of the Holy Spirit to the church's pastors so that they could fulfill their assigned task of teaching the gospel and authentically interpreting revelation. In particular, he bestowed on them the charism of infallibility in matters of faith and morals. This charism is manifested when the pastors propose a doctrine is contained in revelation and can be exercised in various ways. Thus, it is exercised particularly when the bishops, in union with their visible head, proclaim a doctrine by a collegial act, as in the case of an ecumenical council, or when the Roman pontiff, fulfilling his mission as supreme pastor and teacher of all Christians, proclaims a doctrine ex cathedra. And then right after that, it then speaks of his non-infallible exercise of the magisterium. Divine assistance is also given to the successors of the apostles, teaching in communion with the successor of Peter, and in a particular way to the Roman pontiff as the pastor of the whole church when exercising their ordinary magisterium, even should this not issue in an infallible definition or in a definitive pronouncement, but in the proposal of some teaching which leads to a better understanding of revelation in matters of faith and morals, to moral directives derived by from such teaching. There's another one where the magisterium confirms what I've been saying about a charism of safety. And again, it's pointing out that even the Pope, when he teaches non-infallibly, he exercises this charism, and there's a divine assistance given to him. So of course we can speak of Pope Francis's magisterium. Of course we can speak of a charism given to him and his successors, but they strawmanned Fernandez as saying that Pope Francis has this, in other words, to mean or to exclude every other pope didn't have it. And they then interpret him to mean that he gets to come up with doctrine that is contrary to Jesus. In other words, it's not Jesus's doctrine. That is a straw man. This is what the Protestants do about the papal magisterium. This should never come from the lips of a cardinal. Not only that, you also have Humani Generis, who notes this in paragraph 20, and it speaks of the supreme pontiffs exercising their authority even when it's non-infallible. And then they even say that once the Roman pontiffs have judged on the matter, even if it's non-infallible, Pius XII in Humani Generis says that people can no longer put it into public dispute. Now, many of these figures that we're watching, cardinals and bishops, they're actually putting into dispute what the popes have taught, contrary to what Pope Pius XII in Humani Generis says. Not only that, we also have the Code of Canon Law that speaks about the office that the popes exercise by virtue of his office. The supreme pontiff possesses infallibility in teaching when, as a supreme pastor and teacher of all Christians who strengthens his brethren and sisters in faith, he proclaims by a definitive act that a doctrine of faith or morals is to be held. And what you get here is that the supreme pontiff is personally exercising this magisterium. It's not, you know, the papal magisterium is not this ethereal thing floating out in space. It's exercised by an individual. So you can speak of Pope Francis's magisterium insofar as he teaches authoritatively. You don't have a papal magisterium existing in the realm of ideas, Plato's realm of ideas, just floating around. It's exercised by concrete popes. And thus you can speak of the magisterium of Benedict XVI, the magisterium of Leo the Great, the magisterium of Gregory the Great, the magisterium of Pope Francis, the magisterium of John Paul II. You can speak of them insofar as they exercise that magisterium. You can also see this again in the general audience that you see from John Paul II on March 23rd, 1993. He says, first of all, the councils assert that the infallibility attributed to the Roman pontiff is personal in the sense that it derives from him with the personal succession to Peter in the Roman church. So again, the magisterium is exercised personally by the Pope, and thus we can speak of the magisterium of Pope Francis. It's not this ethereal thing existing out there. It is actually exercised by an individual. It's personal. And then again, yes, to confirm what Cardinal Mueller says about the magisterium being subservient to Scripture, I acknowledge that is what De Verbum says right here in paragraph 10. Absolutely. But nowhere does Fernandez put that into doubt. In fact, he guards against it by saying that the Pope has a duty to guard and preserve the static, meaning the unchanging deposit of faith, which is confirming what De Verbum says, not putting it into question. So my major concern is why Cardinal Mueller and why Raymond Arroyo would strawman Fernandez so badly in this kind of way. It seems incredibly irresponsible. And now talk about confusion. We want to say Pope Francis is causing confusion. Excuse me, whatever confusion Pope Francis has caused pales in comparison to the confusion that these people add every single day on social media. Constantly. There's a great deal of artificial confusion that they are creating. I'm sure it's unintentional, but it's irresponsible nonetheless, and they're culpable for it nonetheless. And the souls of the people who leave the church because of these lies are on their consciences. And they need to be more responsible. They didn't actually pull up Cardinal Fernandez's quote on the screen, did they? No. They didn't actually read it to you, did they? No. They strawmanned him, asked Cardinal Mueller about this strawman, and Mueller goes along with it. I seriously suspect Mueller didn't actually read the interview. Let's now watch the whole interview because it's only 10 minutes long. And let me respond to everything else that they said, where they bring up a lot of other misinformation. Let's watch it together.
Now I want to go to Synod voting participant and former head of the Vatican's doctrinal office, Cardinal Gerhard Mueller. Your Eminence, thank you so much for being here. And I know today was your first day in the small groups of this Synod. I want to pick up on what Cardinal Burke had said about the synodal agenda. You were chosen to be a participant among bishops and clergy and lay people at this synod on synodality. Now, this has been sold as a synod of bishops. Given that lay people are voting participants, is it a synod of bishops in your estimation?
As there was a question on our table, what is the nature and the substance of this synod? Normally is a synod of the bishops, an assembly of the bishops, and now the lay people has the same vote, and therefore they changed the nature is only assembly of bishops, priests, religious, and lay people consulting, speaking about several aspects. But the form, synod of the bishops, was an expression of the collegiality of the bishops, and not only consulting a little bit or speaking about several questions, but to exercise the collegiality with the Pope, because the Pope is not a super bishop, but he is a bishop among the bishops, but he is the principal, the center of this episcopacy. And therefore, nobody knows what is meant with this giving the votes also to the lay people, because the nature of this assembly has changed.
Okay, so there's a grain of truth to what he's saying, but he's also strawmanning this issue on the Synod of Bishops. First of all, I do have to point out, as I've mentioned many times, the Synod of Bishops is a misnomer. It should be changed in canon law. It's misleading people by calling it that. It's neither a synod nor is it entirely a bishop. So why call it a synod of bishops? It's like the Holy Roman Empire. It's not holy. It's not Roman. It's not an empire. Call it something else. Call it a general assembly of consultors. That's all it is. Just call it something like that. Don't call it a synod of bishops. It's causing more confusion. It's not a synod in the historical sense of the term, which would be more a council that exercises magisterial authority. Per canon law, the Synod of Bishops does not exercise magisterial authority. There's a grain of truth to what Cardinal Mueller is saying insofar as it is supposed to be an expression of collegiality. Absolutely, yes, an expression, but not actually an exercise of it. Now, he doesn't say it's an exercise of it. I know, but what I'm saying is I want to make that clear. It's not an exercise of the College of Bishops. Therefore, you could have lay participation in it. And then I do agree, however, it makes no sense to just call it a synod of bishops when you have laymen there. It just seems that that might not be the best term. In fairness, however, we do actually have an ecumenical council, the Council of Constance, where laymen voted. Now, we still call that an expression of the College of Bishops, don't we? Yes, because the majority were bishops. And the majority at the Synod are still bishops, even though it's not an ecumenical council. It's not a council at all. It's not an expression of the College of Bishops at all. It has no magisterial authority. So if you can have actual laymen voting at an ecumenical council, then of course you could have laymen voting in something that's not even a council to begin with, that is just an advisory body. Of course you could. But might we want to just change the name of it? Yeah, I think so. I think Pope Francis should change in the Code of Canon Law what we call this, because at this point it just seems nonsensical. It's not a synod. It's not entirely made up of bishops. Let's just call it something else and avoid the confusion. But instead of maybe clarifying that for us, we just got more confusion added to it. And then Mueller is left scratching his head saying, I don't know, you know, nobody even knows why there's lay participation here. Well, Pope Francis has told us why, because it's not just an expression of collegiality. Yes, it is that, but it's also an expression of the concerns that the laity have. Because this is an advisory body and it's not an actual council, you can have laymen voting there. Because again, we've had laymen voting at an actual council anyway. So it's an inconsistent argument. It's short-sighted. And that is the purpose. But rather than reassuring people, helping them understand why we're doing these things, one of the participants doesn't even understand why the laymen are there. And now I'm left wondering, you're a participant at the Synod and you don't know this? All right, well, let's continue. Let me share my screen once more, and we'll continue with the rest of the interview.
I want to get your thoughts on something your successor, Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, said recently in an interview with our own Ed Penton. Mm-hmm. He warned bishops in particular not to, quote, judge the doctrine of the Holy Father. He also spoke of a unique charism that was only Pope Francis's.
See that? Completely misrepresented Fernandez. Fernandez does not say it's only Francis's. He says it's to Peter and his successors, which would mean all popes. Right there, completely strawmanned him. Raymond Arroyo does. And the cardinal goes with it as if it were true. So again, it gives me the impression that well, either he's lying, that is Cardinal Mueller, or he has not read the interview. I am going to give him the judgment of charity. I do not believe he is lying. I don't have good enough reason to believe that. I can't question his motives. But what I can do is question whether he actually read the thing. Because if he read the thing, and he's a dogmatics professor, he wouldn't be able to understand, just as I understood, what Fernandez is saying. It's not hard. He was very clear. But here we go with the confusion. Again, talk about confusion. We say Pope Francis creating confusion. What about these guys? Day after day after day, creating more and more and more confusion and artificial controversies and artificial scandals. Tell me, who's really creating the confusion in the church?
Your Eminence, does the person of the Pope have a doctrine or magisterium unique to himself?
No, no, no. And he never said that.
There doesn't exist the doctrine of the popes, because existing in the church only the doctrine of Jesus Christ.
Straw man, this is what the Protestants do. They say that, you know, Jesus is head of the church, not the Pope. This is just straw manning, of course. But that headship is exercised through a vicarious head, through the Pope. And so, of course, it's Jesus's teachings, but it's exercised through the ministry of an individual Pope. And Cardinal Mueller knows this. He doesn't deny that. But what he's doing is he's equivocating and misunderstanding. And this was irresponsible.
Doctrine of the apostles and the church, the official confession of our faith. And the Pope and the Bishop are the promoters of this doctrine, but they don't have own doctrine. When Pope Benedict XVI wrote his book, his famous book about Jesus, in the foreword, he distinguished that is my own theological opinion, but I am not speaking here as the Pope.
Right, and Pope Francis is not offering his opinion when he's exercising his magisterium. And that's all Fernandez is talking about. There's no disagreement here. The controversy here is created on part by people like Raymond Arroyo and Cardinal Mueller, among others. And it's not just them. This has been going on and circulating for 2 weeks, and I've just been dumbfounded by it, because anyone with basic reading comprehension skills and just a very basic understanding of the magisterium can read the interview of Fernandez and know what he's saying. So it tells me Cardinal Mueller hasn't actually read the interview, because I know he has comprehension skills. Two doctorates, head of the CDF, dogmatics professor. He said he's read all the councils. Wonderful. So I know he has reading comprehension skills. So what does this show us? It tells us he didn't actually read what Fernandez said, but he publicly is speaking things that are not true about him.
Surely the Pope has a special authority in the church according to our Catholic faith, but he is not a person who receives a new revelation. The revelation is once and forever given in Jesus Christ. Therefore, this idea formulated by the new prefect is a very new idea.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You've just misunderstood him, that's all.
Special idea, never I heard of it. I was 16 years professor of dogmatics, and I know all the documents about the papacy.
And he's laughing here. He's laughing at the cardinal. Like, how stupid is the cardinal? He's coming up with this, and, you know, I've been a dogmatics professor, and all these years, he's laughing at him, and he's laughing at a straw man. Now, would Cardinal Mueller appreciate it if people treated Helm this way? And just completely misrepresent and strawman him and then laugh at him on you know, international news? Would he appreciate that?
No, the councils, but I never read anything about this special charism or gift of the Pope, only given to Pope Francis and not to the former popes.
Yeah, well, those former popes should go and ask for, you know, they need to be upgraded. They missed out that they had private doctrine for themselves.
So funny. Yeah, let's just make fun of the cardinal here with a complete straw man. So charitable. I thought we served the God of truth. And I thought that it was Satan who was the accuser of the brethren and was the one who bears false witness and twists things. I thought we served Jesus. If we serve Jesus, the God of truth, we should not be bearing false witness this way. How irresponsible. So now I have to question the journalistic practices of Raymond Arroyo and even Cardinal Burke in actually going through and engaging these issues. Surely he knew he was going to be asked about this. And even if he didn't, and he was just put on the spot, I would have said, you know what? I have not seen what Fernandez says, and I need to check it out in context. So I am not going to comment on that. That's what the cardinal should have done. Instead, he just goes with what Raymond Arroyo said.
Cardinal Mueller, you spoke recently about the treatment of certain bishops in the church who seem to be taking great care to protect the deposit of faith and lead and teach their flocks. Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas comes.
Okay, so Bishop Joseph Strickland has publicly accused the papal magisterium of teaching heresy in Desiderio Desideravi, which I've said 100 times, and I'm going to keep saying it. If he has done nothing else wrong, that right there is condemned by the Eighth Ecumenical Council. It is contrary to the Eighth Ecumenical Council. We've had two patriarchs who did what Bishop Strickland did, and they were anathematized for it. We had one of them deposed for it. Actually, the other one was also deposed. Deposed, anathematized, condemned by the Eighth Ecumenical Council. And the Eighth Ecumenical Council says their act is worthy of eternal damnation. Now, I'm not questioning the eternal fate of Bishop Strickland. What I'm saying is our forefathers at the Eighth Ecumenical Council condemned what Bishop Strickland and Bishop Schneider and others have done in publicly attributing to the papal magisterium in Desiderio Desideravi heresy. And Pope Francis also came out in the Dubia and completely repudiated the accusation that has been made about him, but they have not come out and apologized. They have not come out and revoked their signatures. So I'm sorry, Bishop Strickland is not this innocent dove. He's not this innocent figure who's being slain and martyred in the church. He has blood on his hands by judging the magisterium of Pope Francis. And he has had plenty of time, over a year, almost a year and a half now, to come out and revoke his signature, which he has not done. That alone is worthy of being deposed. That alone, if he did nothing else, publicly accusing the papal magisterium of heresy means you lose your office. The Pope has every right to depose you at that point. If nothing else, he and Bishop Schneider, if they don't retract, the Pope has every right to revoke their ministry and depose them. Every right. So, okay. They don't mention that, though, of course, as they bring Strickland up. They portray him as a martyr. They don't mention that.
To mine, who was recently investigated by the Vatican on really for very little reasons.
There you go. For very little reasons. Oh, so accusing the papal magisterium of teaching heresy is just something we're not even going to mention there? Really? And very little reasons. They actually mentioned all of the reasons. I wonder why he's not addressing those here.
Your Eminence, do you see a double standard at work in the Vatican's treatment of bishops, particularly when you see merciful treatment afforded to sexual predators like Marco Rupnik and a few other bishops I could name but won't?
Yeah, the bishops are instituted by Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the ordination, episcopal consecration. And they are not the delegates of the Pope, the functionaries of the Pope. And therefore, only in a case if there is going anything wrong in the doctrine or in the moral behavior, there can be made an investigation.
That's incorrect. The Pope actually has supreme jurisdiction over the church. And so he doesn't have to explain himself. You don't have to agree with it only in certain situations. No. He could just depose a pope, depose a bishop, period. Now, that could be a moral abuse of his authority, but he has the authority to do it. He has the power. The question is he exercising that power morally? That's the question. But make no mistake about it, he can remove any bishop that he wants for whatever reason. Should he? No, it should be a moral reason, and he should never remove somebody unless there were grave reason. Now, a bishop publicly accusing and judging the magisterium of the papacy and saying it's heretical and teaching heresy? That, according to the Eighth Ecumenical Council, is reason for deposing a bishop. Notice they don't talk about that. They just present Strickland as this martyr. You know, he's just being investigated for no good reason. Excuse me, what about that? We forgot about that, didn't we? Yeah, you know why? Because a lot of us don't even know about it. I've been talking about it for almost a year and a half, and almost everybody has ignored it. It's like, where have y'all been? It's a public document. I've shown it to you 100 times on LifeSite News. It's right there. And Bishop Strickland's signature is the first one in the document accusing the papacy of teaching heresy. And then Schneider is right after that.
But not a visitation, only for to discipline a bishop who is called too conservative. What is conservative? A bishop must be orthodox, not in the political sense, conservative or Republicans or Democrats or anything. It's political, political concepts, but not the theological concept. And therefore, I criticize it openly. I criticized it also. I've spoken.
Has he criticized Bishop Strickland for condemning the papal magisterium as teaching heresy? No. He hasn't said a word about that.
about it. That is a shame that the good bishops,
Orthodox bishops do not accuse the papacy of teaching heresy. That is not an Orthodox bishop.
Are under this pressure, and other people who are doing a lot of things very wrong.
Like accusing the papacy of teaching heresy.
And also heterodoxes.
Like accusing the papal magisterium of teaching heresy. This is comical at this point, because literally everything that Cardinal Mueller is saying applies to Strickland.
And the heresies, they can await from Rome a big tolerance. We must be tolerant against the truth, but intolerant against the lies.
Your Eminence, in
the lies. The lies, like the lie that Cardinal Fernandez was saying, that Pope Francis alone exercises a charism that none of his predecessors do. Like that lie. One is not in a position to speak about lies when they have strawmanned someone with a lie that was created about them.
In addition to the set of dubious sent to Pope Francis by Cardinal Burke and others, Czech Cardinal Dominic Duka also sent a set of dubia to Pope Francis. One of those questions asked by the cardinal regarded Catholic divorces without annulments receiving Holy Communion, divorcees rather. The answer given by the Pope and his chief doctrinal officer, Cardinal Fernandez, said the following: Amoris Laetitia opens the possibility of access to the sacraments of reconciliation and Eucharist when, in a particular case, there are limitations that mitigate responsibility and guilt, end quote.
Let me play that part again. Hold on.
And Eucharist, when in a particular case, there are limitations that mitigate responsibility and guilt, end quote. Your Eminence, at the time we said Amoris Laetitia, that footnote, would become its own book. It has. That answer seems to contradict the Council of Trent, St. John Paul II's 1993 encyclical Veritatis Splendor. And I mean, it's practically a hall pass to adultery. Is adultery no longer a sin?
Oh, gosh. No, it is not. This is just such a straw man. Of course, adultery is still a sin, and this is not accurate. This is, let's actually go to it again. I've done it multiple times, but let's continue to do it here. okay. All right, here's what Pope Francis said to Cardinal Duka. On Amoris Laetitia. Francis maintains the proposal of full continence for divorced and remarried in a new union. Did you hear that? So they're saying, hey, Pope Francis, just giving a green light to adultery. Wait, hold on. It literally says Francis maintains the proposal of full continence for the divorced and remarried in a new union, which Amoris Laetitia says too, but admits there may be difficulties in practicing it, and therefore allows in certain cases, after proper discernment, the administration of the sacrament of reconciliation. You see, they didn't quote that one to you. They didn't quote that. They gave you that older quote, which is consistent with what we're seeing, by the way. But they did not give you this one right here. Let me, in fact, find, let's see. That is a quote from here, and that comes from Amoris Laetitia. They gave you that one, but notice this other one here that explains it. This one says they have to go to reconciliation, even when one fails in being faithful to the continence proposed by the church. Okay, so if the individual who is in this situation, they're supposed to be living in continence, according to Pope Francis. If they don't, they can be admitted to confession. Why is that an issue? Well, there were some people saying they couldn't be admitted to confession. That's the problem. So Pope Francis was correcting that with Amoris Laetitia and saying they could go to confession. So nowhere does he ever say, hey, they get to live in adultery and go straight to communion and don't need to go to confession. And in fact, here he says the exact contrary. He says they need to go to reconciliation. And then that original quote in Amoris Laetitia, the footnote, talked about possibility of access to reconciliation and Eucharist in that order. Never says just Eucharist, period. And if there was any doubt about it, there you go. It was just made clear for you. Do they quote that to you? No, they don't. They strawman him. Once again, I am going to repeat it. Whatever confusion you may have found with Pope Francis, these people are adding way more confusion to the situation than Pope Francis ever has. They're adding to the confusion by continuing to strawman him, not going to the primary sources, not showing you what he actually says, but twisting what he says, putting into doubt things that are not in doubt, putting into question things that Pope Francis hasn't put into question and is in fact already clarified. They are creating an artificial confusion. And so don't talk to me about the confusion of Pope Francis when I'm seeing 10 times more confusion from these people. Let's talk about their confusion first. Then we can talk about any confusion from Pope Francis. Let's deal with the people who are creating 100 times the amount of confusion that Pope Francis is creating. Let's talk about them first. Then we can talk about the people who are creating maybe 1 times that amount. Let's continue, though. Let's watch the rest of the interview and how the cardinal responds to this in light of what we just read. Let's watch it.
Responsibility and guilt, end quote. Your Eminence, at the time we said Amoris Laetitia, that footnote would become its own book. It has. That answer seems to contradict the Council of Trent.
No, it does not. And we're talking about the same Council of Trent that did not condemn and also tolerated divorced and remarried people in the Eastern tradition. So we're not even talking about somebody who is just merely, you know, in a in a new union and they're going to confession before they receive the Eucharist. No, we're talking about people who are divorced and remarried who are not going to confession. They're just being admitted to the Eucharist. Trent tolerated that, as I've shown multiple times on this channel, by going to the actual acts of the Council of Trent. I'll put a link to that in the show notes if you want to watch it. That Council of Trent tolerated divorce and remarriage and communion for the divorced and remarried. That's a fact, an actual fact. So be that as it may, what Pope Francis is doing here in Amoris Laetitia isn't contradicting Trent, because he's literally telling them you have to go to reconciliation. That is, you have to go to confession first. And that is why Pope Francis has explicitly said, we know that those who live in mortal sin, or those who are in mortal sin, I'm going to pull it up, must go to confession. See if I can pull it up. I know I've quoted it like 100 times to y'all, but I'm going to keep doing it as long as they continue to repeat the lies. We know, this is a direct quote from Pope Francis, we know that one who has committed a serious sin, that's a mortal sin, one who has committed a serious sin should not approach Holy Communion without first obtaining absolution in the sacrament of reconciliation. That's Pope Francis. And by the way, he said this after Amoris Laetitia. So these people are continuing to strawman the Pope and creating an artificial controversy that isn't actually attributable to Pope Francis. It's attributable to them. They are creating the controversy. Amoris Laetitia and that whole controversy should have been over. It should have been over from day one if you just read the document carefully. But if there was any confusion, he's again told you confession is what they're admitted to first and they must go to first. There's no more confusion here. There never really was from Pope Francis. It's coming from them. And they're continuing with the false narrative. But let's see how he responds.
St. John Paul II's 1993 encyclical Veritatis Splendor. And I mean, it's practically a hall pass to adultery. Is adultery no longer a sin? And are adulterers welcome to communion now? Is this an evolution of doctrine that we're seeing?
Are adulterers welcome to communion? He literally says reconciliation if they're unfaithful to their continence proposed by the church. Explicitly says it right here. This is bearing false witness. Here's my problem. They are so worried about a divorced and remarried person sinning by receiving communion without confession. Excuse me, I thought bearing false witness was a mortal sin. I thought bearing false witness and slander, according to 1 Corinthians and the book of Revelation, are sins that send you to the lake of fire. Why are you so worried about another person receiving communion unworthily when you're bearing false witness against the successor of St. Peter? Worry about your own soul, because this is gravely immoral. Again, 1 Corinthians 6. Slanderers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says, make no mistake, slanderers will not accept the kingdom of God. Revelation is very explicit. Liars will spend eternity in the lake of fire. If you have committed slander and you're bearing false witness, go to confession. Worry about your own soul. Stop worrying so much about Amoris Laetitia and other people and worry about yourself first. And then you can talk about Amoris Laetitia and what other people are doing. Deal with your own soul first. Raymond Arroyo constantly does this. I thought it was traditional to speak the truth, not bear false witness.
I think it's very clear in the Old Testament, the commandments in the New Testament, that all sins in the sexual behavior outside the legitimate matrimony is a mortal sin.
And Pope Francis actually just said that the other day. And tells you right here, he maintains the full continence for divorced and remarried in a new union. He maintains that proposal that they live entirely chaste.
Nobody can change it. It is the word of God. And these declarations, in this sense, interpretations, are not only against the documents of the former popes and the councils, but are going directly against the word of God.
And he's saying this is going directly against the word of God. Pope Francis is supporting the word of God. And he's saying it's going against the previous popes. He's supporting the previous popes. It explicitly says here he maintains what John Paul II and Benedict XVI proposed. He maintains their proposal. He's just saying if they don't live in continence, they can't be admitted to the sacrament of reconciliation, because there were some people saying that they couldn't. Falsely attributing a position to the Pope that he doesn't hold on international news.
The Second Vatican Council said the magisterium is not superior to the Word of God, but is under the Word of God and serves to him. And
you know what else the Second Vatican Council says? And Cardinal Mueller should know this as a dogmatics professor. And he said he's read all the councils, so he should know. That is actually the living magisterium that interprets the perennial magisterium. And it is the papal magisterium and or the College of Bishops in union with the Pope that interpret the perennial magisterium. Except the problem is, it would seem, Cardinal Mueller is struggling with assenting to the living magisterium on this matter. It seems that he's struggling with assenting to what the current pontificate has taught. A living magisterium and how it interprets the perennial magisterium. They are the authentic interpreters. That is the Pope, the successors of St. Peter, and or the entire College of Bishops, not one cardinal. A cardinal does not exercise that kind of magisterial authority. And a cardinal is to submit with religious submission of intellect and will with what Pope Francis has proposed in Amoris Laetitia. That is the authentic interpreter, as he knows, according to Lumen Gentium 25. So he cites the Vatican II, but in reality, he's struggling with what Vatican II actually teaches when it comes to assent to the papal magisterium.
The Pope and nobody in the church has the authority to relativize the commandments of God.
He never has. He guards against that in Amoris Laetitia and in all of his clarifications. The people who are relativizing things are who are the people who are creating this artificial controversy and putting into doubt those things that were already clear.
So, Cardinal Mueller, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're basically saying the Pope and Cardinal Fernandez really are stating something that is not true and impossible in the Catholic faith, granting communion to divorcees who have not reconciled, who have not.
Excuse me, he says reconciliation. He literally says that word, the very word that Arroyo uses, reconciled, right there. The administration of the sacrament of reconciliation, even when one fails to live faithfully to their continence proposed by the church. Are we going to get an apology from Raymond Arroyo for bearing false witness against the successor of St. Peter? Has he apologized for any previous acts of bearing false witness? No.
Not true and impossible in the Catholic faith, granting communion to divorcees who have not reconciled, who have not who are either remarried or in a new relationship.
If you are asking them what is the truth, they will repeat the doctrine of the church, but then they make their exceptions. But in some cases, there are no exceptions. And we cannot relativize the word of God with a so-called...
There you go. They're both going with this. So unless the person reconciles with their former spouse, they can't be admitted to the Eucharist. But he literally says right here, they can go to the sacrament of reconciliation. They can go to confession.
Ethics of the situation. Huh? The situation is belonging yes. to our subjective condition, but yes. not to the objective conditions for the sacraments.
Okay, what Pope Francis has said about mitigating factors isn't situation ethics or anything like that. We know, just basic catechism, that if you have a reduction in culpability, such as in the consent of the will or knowledge, that does reduce one's acts from being a mortal sin to a venial sin. And that is all Pope Francis has said. He's literally just proposing what we already know from Catholic moral theology. But here, Arroyo is under the impression, unless they're reconciled to their spouse, you heard it right there, unless they're reconciled to their spouse, this is affirming adultery. No, it's not. John Paul II already recognized some circumstances where they might not be able to be reconciled to their spouse. So what about them? Well, some people were saying, no, they can't even go to confession. Pope Francis is saying, yes, they can. They can go to reconciliation. It's right here. It's literally the same word that Arroyo is using when he speaks of reconciling to a spouse. Pope Francis is literally talking about them being reconciled to God in confession. It's like right here. How do you miss this?
Your Eminence, I only have 1 minute left. You said before this synod that this was really a hijacking of the church. That's what you called the synod itself. After a day of taking part in this...
He's going to give us his comments on his participation so far, but hijacking of the church, interesting language. Hijacking of the church isn't coming just from the Germans and the radical liberals. You see it from them, absolutely. But you also see it from the radical traditionalists. They're also hijacking the church with fake news and bearing false witness.
It was really a hijacking of the church. That's what you called the synod itself. After a day of taking part in this, do you have the same opinion? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, the experience with the table took a place was very good, and I have therefore a certain form of optimism. But at the end, we must wait in what direction it will go, at what will be the decisions behind the scenery. Mm-hmm. that is always the problem.
Well, all right, so there you go. He's optimist, or he has an optimist view right now of how things have gone so far. And might I submit that that's how he should have started this interview, by calming people's fears instead of playing into them. What we needed from Cardinal Mueller, and this isn't the first time he's done this, what we need from him and others is to be a reassuring voice. Pope Francis isn't trying to change doctrine. Here's what Pope Francis has actually said. And show that to us, like I've done with you, and I show you the primary sources and I give you the truth. We need the cardinals and bishops to be doing that. Laymen shouldn't have to do that for them. They need to be the ones doing this. They're supposed to be the shepherds. The cardinals, the bishops should be backing up what the Pope has been saying, not attacking him, not putting him into doubt, not questioning his thing, what he has said, and certainly not dissenting from his magisterium as some of them are. Instead of being a reassuring voice to guide us right now and to calm the storm and calm people's fears, instead, they play into it and they build people's fears up. This was a missed opportunity for Cardinal Mueller to assure the faithful, to help them, to really come alongside of them. People who are struggling, who are confused, and to calm the storm and say, no, here's the truth. And all of this other stuff, this is fake news. And to show that to people. He could have done that with Raymond Arroyo and calmed his fears and corrected him and say, hey, hold on, you actually misread Pope Francis in the Dubia reply. Here's what he did say. Did Cardinal Mueller even read it? I don't know. I'm starting to suspect that he's not actually reading the primary sources. He's just getting fake news from other people. Here's something else very concerning about Cardinal Mueller. Let me show you the circles that he's rolling with. Maybe he's listening to the wrong people. Here's the circles. SSPX circle. Look at this. I believe it's SSPX. I'll have to verify. But Archbishop Vigano, right here, right alongside of Mueller. And John Henry Weston, going to be speaking at this event. What is this? Catholic Identity Conference. At first, I thought that that was the SSPX symbol. But it's actually a little bit different, so it might not be put on by the SSPX. But right here, you have a absolute slanderer, Archbishop Vigano, bears false witness constantly, and is a set of a contest. And that is the crowd that Mueller is aligning himself with. So I'm starting to get the impression that Mueller isn't actually reading the primary sources. He's just hearing what these people are telling him, the circles that he's in, the crowd that he's rolling with. He's listening to what they say, and he's just running with it. And guess what? It is that crowd that is bearing false witness in all these areas. In Amoris Laetitia and Cardinal Fernandez's interview that we just looked at, it's the exact same crowd. They all seem to run in the same circles. And they're not listening to anything outside of that circle and any feedback and any pushback. They're all just feeding into each other the same lies. And they're just trusting, I would imagine, Cardinal Mueller is just trusting what he's being told is true. Because I refuse to believe that he's intentionally bearing false witness. I think he's probably too busy to just look into the issues himself. So he just kind of has advisors and other people who he's trusting. And they're not good. They're not up to par. They're giving him false information. That's the impression that I'm getting here. I am going to address Cardinal Burke's interview with Raymond Arroyo at the same time that this one was done. I'm going to address that later today. So look for a stream on that. I will be addressing the misinformation that Cardinal Burke has been continuing to put out about Pope Francis. So stay tuned for that. Wow. It's like playing a game of whack-a-mole. As soon as, you know, you put one of these things down, another one comes back up, you knock that lie down, another one comes up, you know, it's like Catholic whack-a-mole or something. But, I'm going to continue to speak the truth and address this stuff, as long as they continue to promote the falsehoods. So hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. Help me reach more people with this content. So if you appreciated this, you wanted to reach more people, please consider doing that. Also consider supporting me, patreon.com/reasonandtheology. Or if you want to support me through PayPal or GoFundMe, I put a link to those in the show notes. So certainly check it out. All right, we'll see you later. God bless. Hey, everybody, just wanted to tell you about my new free ebook, Church Chaos: Biblical Insights for Confused Catholics. If you are a confused Catholic and you're thinking about leaving the Catholic Church, or you're thinking about converting to the church, but you see that there's a crisis in the church and you're just unsure, this is the book for you. Again, it is free. Just simply go to reasonandtheology.com. You'll see a pop-up that comes up on your screen. Just simply click on it and you'll put in your email and it will provide you the free PDF ebook right then and there. Please check it out if you're confused about the situation in the Catholic Church today. ReasonandTheology.com. Are you confused about how Catholic teaching authority works? With encyclicals, papal bulls, councils, and many other things, it's easy to get confused on what is authoritative and what is not. Fortunately, at MaximusInstitute.com, I have prepared a course explaining the Magisterium from A to Z. Visit the website and check out the course, Understanding the Magisterium, for more information.